Hello everyone and welcome back to the X-Cast, the truth is in here. I'm Tony Black, your host as ever, and we've got the most exciting episode of the X-Cast for you this week because we've got a very special interview with someone who has perhaps been the most involved with the X-Files who have come on the show to date, and that is the composer of the X-Files, Mark Snow. And I'm delighted to have been joined for this interview, which will be coming up very soon, by Mr. Brandon Shane Matala, coming on the show for the first time. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, how's it going? I'm a little sad now because I thought that that introduction was me. You're like, I'm the most exciting interview for the X-Cast ever with Brandon Shane Matala.
I know. Maybe I should go back and re-edit that just to make it sound like, you know, you're the guy.
I mean, I can bow to Mark Snow. He's a little more important to the X-Files than I am.
Well, you're going to be coming on the show yourself very soon to talk an episode, Brandon, and do the classic five questions of X. So, because you're a big X-Files fan, aren't you?
So I am.
We're going to look forward to doing that. But the reason you're on this show is because, to be fair, you're the guy who put this together. You messaged me, didn't you, and said, shall we get Mark Snow for the X-Cast?
Yeah. Well, La La Land had just released the Volume 3 set of Mark Snow's music for the X-Files, and you said, hey, you host a show about music. Why don't you come on? And I said, yeah, sure, that's great. And then I messaged and said, yeah, you want me to try and see if I can get Mark Snow? Because I've actually been pretty fortunate with the interviews that I've had on Melodic Treks, which is my Star Trek music podcast. And I messaged, and he messaged back, and he said, yeah, I'd be thrilled. And I'm like, great. So, it was awesome. It worked out good that we were all able to go on at the same time and have a wonderful interview. It was amazing.
Yeah, sometimes, getting these interviews, everyone I've had on the X-Cast so far have been brilliant in coming on and devoting their time. But sometimes it takes quite a while to set these things up. But this was like, in the space of 2 weeks, we managed to contact Mark Snow, email back and forth, and then we did the interview, and it was I thought, wow, that's super fun. And he was so like, yeah, fine, let's do it, yeah, I'm available, then let's do this. Really easy to set up with, so it was fantastic. Although I did stay up really late because we had three different times differences for this interview. We had, I think it was 7:30 p.m. for Mark, it was about 4:30 p.m. for you, Brandon, and it was like 12:30 a.m. for me. So if I sound a little bit groggy on this, it's because I've been at work. I've been up since 7 a.m. and I still haven't gone to bed.
Yeah, it's difficult sometimes podcasting, you know, getting these people all over the globe and trying to coordinate efforts. I mean, where I am right now, it's just turning 7 a.m., right? And it's, what, 1 o'clock where you are right now?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. We're gonna launch straight into this and play you the interview that we pre-recorded a few weeks ago with Mark, and it's going to be interjected with samples from the Volume 3 X-Files track, which you can buy at La La Land Records, and we heartily recommend. Brandon and I both curated 3 or 4 tracks that we loved, and they will be interlaced with the interview itself, so you can get a little bit of taste of Mark's, not new music, but his newly released music from the X-Files, which we will talk about a little bit later on, and we talk with Mark about. So this interview covers his career on the X-Files, the show itself, and excitingly, Brandon, he does talk a little bit about season 11, doesn't he?
What?
Spoiler alert. Although he doesn't, this isn't like, before you get really excited, guys, this isn't like a confirmation of loads of stuff. It's Mark's opinion, but Mark is in a decently positioned place to know a few things. So It's interesting what he tells us, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, you bet.
Mm. So without further ado, let's launch into our exclusive interview with the X-Files composer, Mark Snow. So we're joined by Mark Snow for this interview with myself and Brandon, and it's an absolute joy and a pleasure to invite you onto the X-Cast, Mark. So big welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So I'm going to kick things off by asking a question I'm sure you've been asked plenty of times before. But just to go over it once again, for anyone who doesn't know, we're just wondering, how did you first become involved in the X-Files way back when?
Right. Well, a personal friend of mine was one of the producers. His name is Bob Goodwin, or R.W. Goodwin. Mm. And when they were doing the pilot, he suggested me to Chris Carter, and a few people at Fox said, oh yeah, we heard of him, he's good. And a few other names were bandied about. And one of the good things about me is I lived the closest to Chris Carter in California, in Santa Monica, and he lived in Pacific Palisades. Some of the other fellas lived out in the valley, out in Sherman Oaks and downtown LA, so it wasn't convenient for him to go to their studios. Now, that's not a real good reason to choose a composer, except for him, you know, it was, I was the first one in line because he was, you know, a mile away or so. So he came over and he just wanted to hear some music and we had a nice little chat. I couldn't quite get a sense of what he was thinking or feeling, you know, and I had done plenty of pilots and this one seemed okay, but nobody knew it was going to turn into something big. So he said, thank you for, you know, taking a meeting with me and we'll be in touch. Okay. 2 weeks later, he calls up, I'd like to come back. I said, okay. And, you know, I was not, you know, I was fairly neutral, not knowing what was going to transpire and go forward, to say the least. So he comes back and does the same thing. And he leaves and he says, we'll be in touch. And then what, 10 days later, they call up and they say, well, you got this show. And I said, all right, very good. And he called up and said, look, we want to talk about the theme. And I want to send you some CDs of music I like. And you could have a listen and go from there. Okay. So he sent me quite a few CDs. And he said, on this one, I like the drums. On this one, I like the synth pads. And this one, I like the violin. This one, I like the song. This one, blah, blah, blah. And I said, wow, okay, that's kind of a mashup here. I'll try to amalgam this together or whatever. So I said, okay, come on over. He came in and he heard this first theme I did. And it was, you know, I really don't even have a copy of it. Anyway, but it was very much what you might expect from a sci-fi show, a lot of bang and crash and bang, you know, fast and loud. And he said, gee, that's great, but, you know, it's not quite, and it's just, and he was very respectful. Okay, let's try it again. All right, same thing happened on number two, same thing happened on number three, but he was not losing patience because he saw I was trying to follow his directions. After the third one, I said, look, why don't you, you know, I said politely, why don't you leave and I'll start from scratch on something and see what comes up. And he said, okay. As soon as he left, I put my elbow gingerly on the keyboard I had, and I had one of these delay echoplex effects where I heard John, 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 John. I said, oh, that's kind of interesting. And he made a point of saying, whatever you do, I want it to be simple and not slick and not overproduced. Okay. So came up with actually the accompaniment rhythm triplet figure, da ba da da ba da da ba da da ba da da, that thing, that was first. And I said, okay, that's kind of nice. That's simple enough. All right. And let's put some sustained kind of synthy, low tone mushing around things underneath that. Okay, great. And maybe a little percussion hit here and there, or oh, then double the doodle da 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 with some wooden percussion sound. Chippa 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 chippa. Okay, that's nice. And how about a melody? All right, here's the melody. Da, 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 da. Okay, that's good. What's going to play it? Oh, I don't know. How about the piano? Not really. Organ? No. Violin? No. Human voice? No. Saxophone? Ah, no. Trumpet? No. And I came upon the great whistle sound in one of my old dinosaur-ish samplers. It was called Whistling Joe. Okay. So let's try it. Well, that's pretty good. My wife heard it. I was in my studio, which was my converted little garage in Santa Monica. She hears it. The door was open. She comes out and very innocently says, gee, that's kind of nice. That's interesting. I said, well, okay, I'll play it for him. So he comes over, hears it, and says, oh, okay, that's good. I like it. Let's go with it. And I said, well, you don't have to be so excited about the damn thing. And I didn't say that, but fine. All right. So then he says, look, we have to play this theme for the Fox executives. Then the show comes out and it's getting a lot of attention. And this theme is becoming a big deal. And I that was very, a lot of fun and so forth. And the Fox executives call up and they say, oh, no, I went to play them the piece. And they, three guys in suits, and they're sitting around going, gee, that sounds, it's very, I it just makes me, they pass it to the next guy and he just says the same thing. It's just, nobody would say anything. They didn't know what to make of it. So again, the show comes out, the thing starts getting excitement. These guys call up Mark. Yeah, this is Jim and Bob from the meeting. Remember? Yes, I remember. Didn't we tell you how great that was? Thank you. And I said, you did. You told me how wonderful. Thank you.
I'm sure you've heard this story a few times, but I started watching The X-Files when I was 13, and it was right near the end of repeats for season one. And when I heard that theme song, it was during the Tombs episode. And when that theme song came in, it scared the pants off of me.
Same.
Like Chris Corus always said, it was like the little Boy Scout whistling at the campfire at night.
So we've got there's some excitement recently. We've just got a third volume of four discs released from La La Land Records. How closely do you work with La La Land Records in putting out these releases? Do you choose the tracks? Do they choose the tracks? Do you work with them to remaster the music?
Well, actually, there are a few guys there that I have complete faith in. There are reams and reams of X-Files music that these guys tirelessly go through and pick out stuff, and then they compile a good listening collection and send it to me, and I say, that's good, oh, that's too repetitive, oh, that sounds the same, that's great, that's good, blah blah blah, and I just hear it and tell them, sure, that's good, go for it. And they have a guy, I forget his name exactly at the moment, but he's just a great mastering guy and makes it sound great. Mm-hmm. And I just signed 8,000 copies of the title card there.
We both got one.
You have some?
Yeah. We both got one, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Could you make out the name all right, or was it just a mess?
Somewhere in between.
Hey, I got it.
If it was in silver, I personally did that, so,
Oh, cool.
It was, yeah. Mine is in silver, yeah.
Yeah, mine was, yeah.
Right, so thanks, okay.
thanks for your efforts there, because that's a lot of signing.
It is? No, it wasn't 8,000, but it was a lot.
So while we're talking about the music and whatnot, I was recently listening to John Carpenter's score for The Fog, and it reminded me a lot of the pilot music. Did you have some inspiration there?
No, he stole it from me.
20 years early?
Yeah, okay, well, obviously the Halloween piano thing by, I forget his name, it's a long last name with an H. What's his name?
Alan Howarth.
That's it, okay, so, but one of the best scores I thought was for The Thing, which I think Ennio Morricone did, right?
You bet, yep.
Mm.
Okay, so, no, I didn't... I wasn't influenced by that. I was more influenced by modern, classical, avant-garde music. And I once was up for a movie with John Carpenter, and he thought it was too modern, avant-garde, classical music. So...
Given the year of 2016, given as well as the new release of Volume 3, obviously the show came back, The X-Files. So this question just occurred to me, really. So how did you feel, Mark, about coming back and scoring the show after quite a break, really? I know there was the movie, I Want to Believe, but how did you feel about coming back to do the revival series? Did you change anything? Did you intentionally want to do some new things, or how did you come at that?
I thought it would be interesting to, you know, bring back some of the old kind of sounds and harmonies, and also to stretch out a little bit with some of the action stuff to make that more, you know, modern, contemporary than the stuff from years ago. But it's weird. I have kind of mixed feelings about it. Not bad ones, but it was like everybody, all the great writers and directors, you know, the real top of the line guys on the show were, you know, involved. And in some funny way, it just seemed a little like been there, done that. I mean, not for me. I really loved it. But, you know, and some of those moments were great. But the most disappointing part of it is that the music wasn't mixed well for the broadcast. You know, that was incredibly disappointing. So, you know, going back and what I said, strike all the rest of it. Everything, everybody was great. It was all fine. But when it came down to the final mix, it was just awful. And the great music editor named Jeff Charbonneau, who did the whole series with me. In fact, he was the first person hired on that show and lasted, you know, for the whole, you know, tour, so to speak. But he was on the mixing stage and he said, oh, it's huge, it's great, it's big. And, you know, and he was terribly disappointed too. And I remember calling up Fox and said, come on, guys, I mean, this is terrible. In good old days, the music was real loud and clear, you know, great. Anyway, so, you know, there were really some great moments with the Darren Morgan show, with the Where Man meets the Mummy, whatever it was, you know. And they're running around with some of that stuff. It wasn't enough music in that particular episode, I remember. All the other ones were like the good old days, just loaded wall to wall.
Well, jumping into that with the newer series then. So there was these are kind of a couple of questions that are going to go together here. But like when you are composing, do you compose to video, or are you composing to an idea of an episode and then they drop the music in later?
No. Door number one, they send me a video. In fact, all the shows I've done since then have in the same way. It's either like a DVD that I download, and nowadays it's just a over the internet download. You know, they'll send me the script, and that really doesn't do much for me. You know, what matters is when I get the picture and I look at it and I put it into my equipment and I start fooling around with it and come up with ideas, and it just kind of grows from there. So, and I usually go to the longest, most difficult piece or cue, you know, in the music first, and sort of work backwards. Sometimes that piece could be at the beginning or at the end. But, you know, some of those teasers, the X-Files, were some of the greatest. That's what was you know, part of the brilliance of that show when, you know, these most of these openings were always start off innocent and then they just go berserk, you know, and then the theme comes smashing in. And I mean, that theme smashing is not, you know, kind of ironic in a way, but when it did come in after those trailer teasers, it was even gave me goosebumps. So
then I guess my follow-up question to that would be, one of the recent episodes for the miniseries that came out that caused a little bit of controversy in the fan community was Babylon. Can you describe your process for scoring that episode and what it was like?
What was the controversy as you know it?
So the controversy as I know it is...
I see. Probably because of the ethnicity.
Right. The unfavorable view of terrorism and stuff that was portrayed in the episode.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just do the music. I don't think of these ideas, so don't blame me. But it was tough at times knowing that this shit really happens and, you know, trying to put music and two guys go into a building and blow it up and themselves and, you know, 100 other people, whatever it was. I'm trying to make a loud, explosive music moment. It was a little unsettling. I mean, it certainly was a hell of a creative show with all the other stuff going on, I thought. You know, pertaining to the terrorist aspect of it, you know, there have been plenty of movies with that theme, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a Chris Carter episode, how he went from that to, you know, the magic mushroom hallucinating routine with David. And, you know, people were really like, what is going on here? This is really creative.
No, it's really interesting because it was such an episode that really sort of got a lot of opinion from this, not necessarily all the right reasons. So, yeah, it's interesting to see your take on that, really.
Well, you know, there were times where there were a few times where the music had to be or it was appropriate to be, you know, ethnic, Middle Eastern sounding. But it was right, you know, talk about the teaser. Oh, my God, you know, and these guys are in the stunky Texas place, whatever, and getting down on the prayer rug and getting ready for the end and getting together and giving each other a hug and, okay, I'll see you in heaven or whatever. Ugh, that was unsettling.
Speaking of unsettling, obviously you didn't just score The X-Files when the show was on the air back in the 90s and everything. There was obviously these spin-off shows like Millennium, which obviously was a brilliant but very often very unsettling show. So scoring The X-Files, Millennium, The Lone Gunman, how did you come at differentiating the music between them? Because they all retain your own sense of style, but they all are clearly very different in many ways. So how did you come at that?
Well, for Millennium, the director was David Nutter, who did many of the X-File episodes. He and Chris found this, what's her name, Kylie Minogue, right?
Yeah.
You know who that is?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay. And,
yeah.
Yeah. And said, hey, listen to this Celtic type thing. That would be kind of neat. I said, oh, really? Yeah. Okay. So that's really what the idea was from that. I mean, I didn't copy any of her music, but yeah. It was, you know, this sad Celtic, you know, dark, moody, almost funereal type piece. And, you know, that was the core of the music for the show with a kind of a almost, God, an Appalachian American folky sound at times, which I thought, I don't know how I fell into it. I guess liked that music, but I thought the folky sound was a good kind of outgrowth from the Celtic sound, you know, somewhat similar. But I'll tell you, I had so much fun with that show. That was one of my favorites of all time. I mean, certainly The X-Files, obviously, but Millennium was a, wow, that was.
Yeah.
Millennium had a couple of really, really great episodes for scores, like the Well-Worn Lock.
Yeah.
And the winter one with that mafia guy. I can't remember the name of it right now at the top of my head.
John Polito, who died recently. God, he's just fantastic.
I think that was Omerta, that one. Yeah, I think that was called Omerta.
Oh, right. With the, and I used some opera samples in that when the nymphs were all jumping around in the woods.
I tell you the ones I loved. It was Owls and Roosters. What you did for Owls and Roosters. Oh, that was stunning. Absolutely brilliant. I loved that.
Man, they were so creative. It was a shame that show, you know, didn't go forward. I went out to LA because they were the release of that music. And what's his name? Lance
Henriksen
was there with Heather, right? Heather?
Megan Gallagher?
Megan. Okay. Oh, all right. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right. So it was kind of cute because Lance had a book about this and he was selling his book and she had a bunch of headshots of herself and she was signing autographs and I'm thinking, no, wait a minute, we're in the record store here, what's going on? they're great. I mean, that Lance, man, he is a wild man. He is, I mean, if someone said, Lance, come on, we're doing this 10-minute movie and we want you to be in it, you know, I'm there, I'll pay you to be in it. No problem. I'm going.
I've got to just quickly go back, though, to Kylie Minogue super quickly, because I don't know if you're aware of this, either of you really, but Kylie Minogue is hugely famous in Britain, in the UK. Obviously, she's Australian, but she's hugely famous. But she's known as a pop star. She's known as a very pop, you know, happy-go-lucky. So to find out that she influenced the Millennium theme, which is one of the darkest shows in history, in TV, one of the most brilliant but darkest, is just blows my mind slightly, to be honest.
You know, they said, you know, because the picture for the main title, you know, was just, you know, oh, you know, like Seven or, you know, some incredible, real dark, disturbing piece.
This is
who
we are.
People say the same thing. You know, what do you mean, Kylie Minogue? That doesn't make sense. It's not about, you know, the music per se. It's just that,
yeah,
that kind of violin idea, you know. So
now that drum that was used, that was a contribution by Jeff Charbonneau, right?
Wrong.
Okay.
Thank you for asking. No, actually, that's. That's a really old sample of this ambient big boom, boom, da, 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 da. I heard a rumor about that, but it's not true. But, you know, if it was, I'd admit it right off the bat.
Well, talking about obviously the TV shows, the other interesting element is the movies, scoring the movies, because obviously, you know, you'd done nine seasons of the show, and in the middle of that, obviously, you had Fight the Future, which was the first movie in between season 5 and 6. So how was it to transition in the middle of recording music for the TV show to step it up and have the full orchestra and everything like that to do Fight the Future?
It was challenging and it was difficult judging all the stuff. Mm. I knew it had to be, you know, that orchestral sound. So I did it first, you know, at my home studio where, you know, Chris and the director, Rob Bowman.
Bowman.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. You know, came over and just...
Tony, I think he's just testing us.
Yeah,
I think he's just making sure that we're actually fans.
I'm not. I just forgot, okay?
No. You're testing. You're testing us. That you remember
no
all these
way.
Names, Mark. We know that you do. You're testing us.
No, I don't. So they said, yep, yeah, okay, that sounds good. And then it got orchestrated, and I showed up with the orchestra and conducted it, and it was very exciting, you know, going from music scores that were all synths and samples, et cetera, to a, you know, a big orchestra. And some of it was, well, no, actually most of that was just pure, you know, live orchestra. The second movie was, had a lot of combination of the orchestra plus the home studio gear. But that first movie was, that was rough. I remember, you know, someone said, okay, everyone get in their place. Chris Carter's coming. He wants to hear this part. I said, okay, here we go. Then he doesn't show up. And then the orchestral manager says, okay, 10-minute break. And I go outside and I see him running around and he's going from Millennium to X-Files to this one, to that one. And it was like, I don't know. Do you remember the David Letterman show? Right. Well, in the beginning, he runs from side to side for some dumb reason, maybe to get himself all pumped up. That's what it looked like. You know, it was just this guy, almost like a comedy. Anyway, that was very exciting. And that did pretty well. Good enough to get another movie going.
Yeah, yeah. And did you think, I mean, obviously for a while, there was obviously talk of maybe there being a third movie instead of the revival series. So did you ever have any thoughts about what you might try and do in that third movie? Obviously, you know, without having it before you, it might have been very different. But was there anything did you bring similar things into the revival series that you might have done for a movie?
I don't think so. I think that, again, when you see a movie and you're, you know, when I went to the screening of these things without music, you know, you're in a big theater and you're thinking, wow, this is so cool. You know, it's not a TV show at the moment. It really gets you, you know, really, really excited. In fact, the second movie, I was able to get this fellow named Alan Meyerson, who is the recording engineer for Hans Zimmer. So he's particularly good at doing combinations of orchestra and samples. Unfortunately for me, that the mix of the music in there was another nightmare. I don't know how that happened. I mean, Jeff Charbonneau was there the whole time and he said, oh, this is just amazing. I popped in every so often and it was just incredible sounding, and somehow someone flicked a switch somewhere. And anyway, that was disappointing. But the CD of that music, I particularly am proud of. There are some really great pieces on there. And in fact, one of my favorites is this sort of solo singing with the cello solo. It's called The Surgery. So if you have that, and you could tell everyone, that's one of my favorite pieces.
Thank you.
So how closely did you work with Jeff Charbonneau, and what kind of input did he have on the music itself?
He was like a really great, you know, I could show him something and play him something. And what do you think of this? Oh, that's great. Oh, man, that's amazing, man. Okay. How about this? That sucks. What's wrong with you? This is terrible. He was very, very, I mean, it sounds silly, but it was that simple. He was very helpful. He said, oh, no, take the drums out here. No, no, that string line, that's terrible. Just make it simpler. Make it something faster, slower. You know, I mean, not all the time, but, you know, we weren't the last word when I was doing the series. And I'm not kidding. Every one of those shows, someone from the show came to my studio to hear the music. Every time. It wasn't just send it in and we'll watch it later, but they showed up. And I think one of the reasons they showed up, because it was so much fun for them. They got out of the studio at Fox, were able to come over and we'd have a, you know, a great time, and they wouldn't say too much. It's that, oh, when the, you know, monster jumps out of the closet, just hit that harder, okay, or whatever. And it's just like doing, you know, mini movies all the time. It was, there'll never be another X-Files, and if I get anything else like that, it would be a, it'd be a miracle, you know, because, you know, it's a interesting thing of, it's a cool show, and it's got lots of, you know, it'll go on hopefully forever and be thought of as one of the great TV moments. You know, I mean, in Witness, here we are. You guys are calling me up to talk about it. You know, I'm not particularly thought of as, you know, I could do some cool music still, but I'm not like in the younger set of guys who are doing Mr. Robot and Breaking Bad. And, you know, I know those guys, and, you know, some of the stuff they come up with is just amazing. I mean, I think the biggest change from when I was doing it in terms of the sound of the edgy, cool stuff today is just the sound. With the advent of Hans Zimmer, so much of what he does relies upon the mixing and the, you know, the sound. I mean, sometimes the music is brilliant and great, and sometimes it's just good, if you know what I mean. But it always sounds amazing. And some of the guys who were, you know, had worked with him, worked for him, and then went on to have their own careers. I mean, that's something that seems to be a hallmark of, you know, guys coming up now. This is interesting. I know you talked to Jerry Fried. Believe it or not, we went to the same high school. He's a lot older than me, so don't get any ideas. But Jesus, he must be 88 or something like that.
89, yep.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. So he was probably still plays the oboe. He went to my high school. He went to Juilliard, I think. I went to Juilliard. He was an oboe player. I was an oboe player. I knew him out in L.A. And God knows a lot has changed from when he was doing Star Trek to what's going on now. I mean, and for me, too, when I started, I was it was in the mid-70s. And there was no such thing as a video anything. And all the work I did was all live groups. And I remember the years, 1986, the advent of the home studio was, you know, catching on. And it was like, you know, you better get on board or forget about it. So, you know, a lot of the guys are saying, oh, this is bullshit. This is a passing phase. It's never going to amount to anything. Well, you know, those who didn't get on the train were left behind, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. And I remember how primitive all that equipment was back then. It's come a long way now.
Do you see, though, I mean, you talk about the newer composers working on, you know, some of the shows, like you say, Mr. Robot things. Do you see the influence that you would have had? Because, I mean, you would have had an influence, Mark, without question. I mean, The X-Files has got some of the most seminal music of the last 25, 30 years in a lot of people's minds. Do Do you see that influence in a lot of in new stuff you listen to?
Well, every once in a while, especially when they steal the theme, then I have my lawyers go sue them. No. No, I'm kidding. Of course. You know, every once in a while I do. I don't see it as much as friends of mine, you know, they said, man, you should watch whatever it is, Blind Spot or I don't know what. No, just pick a show. And man, that just sounds just like the X-Files when you did this and that. And
like Fringe, for example. Fringe might be a good example where they maybe tried to replicate, you know.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I know that, what's his name, J.J. Abrams was a huge X-Files fan.
Mm.
And he, you know, that you're right, that Fringe show was very, very similar idea.
Yeah, Chris Tilton's music on that was definitely inspired for you. And even you just mentioned, like, Blind Spot. Like, I was listening to the soundtrack for it by Blake Neely, and there's a few tracks on that that it's just, I'm like, man, this guy was influenced by Mark Snow, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, why don't you let us know what you're working on right now? Is there any projects that you have coming up in the near future here? Hopefully, any rumors you can let us know about X-Files Season 11, perhaps?
Well, there's talk about that, that's for sure. I think what's kind of good news about that is that the actors don't want to do like 6 episodes. They really want to do at least 13 or more, you know. They really want to get, you know, immersed in it. And apparently it did well in the ratings, I think, especially, you know, overseas. So Fox is thinking, well, this is a good investment. Let's give it a go. So, but right now I'm working on a show called Blue Bloods. You might know about that, but it's Tom Selleck, Cops, New York. It's not something that's particularly edgy. It's almost old-fashioned in a way, but it's a nice little, you know, experience.
That's been running for a few seasons now, hasn't it? I think Blue Bloods. It's been on for a while.
Yeah, this is season number 7 right now.
Oh,
actually,
wow. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, I don't know if you. You must know of Sean Callery.
Yep.
Mm.
Yeah, he did the music for 24.
Right. Anyway, I don't know if you know that I was very much part of getting his career off the ground. I did a show where I asked him to help me. It was called Nowhere Man.
Oh,
and,
yes. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Right. And he helped me with that. And then came a TV version of La Femme Nikita.
Yes. I used to love that show. That was a great show. I really liked that. Yeah.
All right. So the producer called me and said, well, you know, I want you to do the show. And I said, okay. And I said, but I can't do the show. I can write a theme, but I'm too busy with other stuff. And he said, what? No, well, who are we going to get? And I recommended Sean Callery. And he did the first episode. It didn't go over well. And he said, all right, he's fired. You have to do it. I said, no, 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 wait a minute. Just calm down. Let me, you know, I'll listen to the music he does and I'll make sure it's right. Well, you better or else blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. So anyway, cut to that producer went on to 24. And that was his big, big moment.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's really quite amazing. His musical technique and ability. He's got two things that are just an incredible arsenal for his composing, which is he's a first-class keyboard player, and he knows the computers inside out. So all his stuff is, you know, his home studio. He's doing a bunch of shows now, but he's doing one show called Elementary with Johnny Lee Miller. And believe it or not, I do half of that music.
Really?
He needed some help, and he asked me, and he said, come on, you can do it. I said, well, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, you know, I helped him out, and it's not that I need the help so much, but it's nice to do different things. And so I'm working on that with him.
That's awesome.
When we get off the call, I have to finish one last piece for it.
Cool. So you mentioned the possibility, obviously, earlier of season 11. Do you have any idea as of yet when that might be happening, or you might be working on that? Or is it just, I know it's not all been 100% confirmed yet, but is there anything in the pipeline there?
It's not quite settled upon yet. You know, they have to work out all these contracts with, you know, it's so complicated with the directors and the writers and where's it going to be shot, and you know, the two stars, when will they be available at the same time, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But there's big time interest. And my guess is I think the earliest it could be done would be next year and a year from now.
Okay. Yeah, that's rough. Yeah, that's roughly what we guessed. Yeah, but that's amazing. That's fingers crossed. Definitely. Speaking of things coming round again as well, are we going to get volume 4 of the X-Files La La Land stuff,
or volume 3 of Millennium?
Yes, or both.
You put all that three volumes of X-Files, and that's what, 4 CDs each?
It's not enough. It's not enough.
Oh, jeez. What do you guys do with that stuff? I mean, really? You play Frisbee with those things? I mean, it's insane.
It's just too good to stop, Mark. We just need more.
What do you get together with your friends? All right, let's listen to good old X-Files. And you all sit around and do whatever you do. And you listen to that for hours on end. That's insane.
So come on, answer the question, Mark. Are we going to get volume 4? Come on. Oh,
you know, guess what? If you know, if those La La Land guys, you know, think, you know, they'll make a few bucks on it, then the answer is absolutely, mate.
Right on. That's good enough for me.
Yeah, I'll take that as well.
Jesus, volume 4? You haven't had time to listen to the volume 3 yet.
That's actually true. I've listened to disc 1.5 times so far of the new one.
Man. I've got a whole box of them they sent me that weighs a ton, and you know, someone comes over, the mailman comes down the road, here, have a CD. How about you? You want one? Over here. That's good.
They are the luckiest mailmen in the world. That's brilliant.
Right. And then I put a whole bunch of them in the back of my boot of my car, right? And drive around town. Anyone want one? $5. $5.
Okay, Mark,
X-Files CDs.
Mark, I got to tell you, if you've still got copies of Millennium Volume 1, so autographed copy of that is going on eBay right now for over $400.
Get lost. Are you kidding me?
No, it's true. It's true.
Yeah. Oh.
They reissued it, right? But the first one went out of print, and somebody's selling the first one autographed for $400 on eBay.
400.
God damn it. I'm going to get a friend, you know, to do that, and I'll split it with him. Holy crap.
You could make a fortune, Mark. You've got to do this.
Oh, my God. How about this one? How about I've got old X-Files scripts, right?
Wow. Those aren't valuable. Just send them to me. I'll get rid of them for you.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose, I don't know if I'd get in trouble I'd be really, Chris Carter, I don't think, would appreciate it too much. We'll be right back.
Anyways, before we let you go here, Mark, is there any other stories that you want to tell us about your time working in the business? Anything that we haven't touched on that you'd like to share with us tonight?
I'll share you one of my, I'm going to try to make it short too. One of my great stories. Do you remember the movie Taxi Driver?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bernard Herrmann's final score.
Mm. That's right. I was invited to go sit in the booth when he did that score. Because I had a friend who knew him. And I was there with Scorsese and at Warner Brothers.
Wow.
And doing a break, my friend said, come on out, I'll introduce you to him. And he did. And Herrmann was very old and kind of a real curmudgeon. And yeah. He looked at me and he said, who are you? What are you doing? Who are you? I told him who I was. And he said, well, what do you do? Oh, I write music for TV show. TV? That's horseshit. And he grabs my hand and he pulls me over to a corner of the room. And he has a briefcase that's all scratched up where he carries whatever, some sketches or, you know, his personal stuff. And he puts his hand in there and he pulls out, it looked like a half-eaten baton, you know, all scratched up. And he takes my hand and he shoves this in my hand and said, here, take this. Now get out of here and stop doing that TV shit. That's horseshit.
Oh, man.
And I've got the baton, right? The session is over. I'm in the car driving home. Turn on the radio. Noted film composer Bernard Herrmann found dead in the Universal City Hotel room, blah, blah, blah. And there I was with the baton. So can imagine, I've got that hermetically sealed in my in my vault.
Wow.
Yeah, he died like the day after finishing that or something like that.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, he died that day.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Because I drove out of there, you know, and it was only like, couldn't have been more than 2-3 hours at the most.
Wow. That's amazing. That is, you that's a piece of film music history you were involved with there. Basically.
Right. That's right. Amazing. Yeah.
Wow.
But that's a great one.
Yeah, that's an amazing story to finish with. That's amazing.
Well, I'll let Tony finish up in a second. Before we go here, Mark, I just wanted to tell you how influential your music was on me. The first score that I ever purchased was The Truth and the Light. I don't know if you remember that disc or not. It came out about season 3 of The X-Files. I listened to that, I don't know how much, and it's influenced me to this day. Like, I love all sorts of film scores. Like, Bernard Herrmann is my favorite. But when it comes to movie and film scores, I actually really do prefer an almost synthetic electronic score. And that's definitely a direct result of your music, and which crafted my preference. And, you know, the season 1 music of The X-Files is my favorite because it sounds a bit more to me of a retro sound to it, like, you know, the horror movies of the 70s and the 80s. And, you know, just even listening to this new La La Land release that has got almost complete scores of episodes, which is outstanding, you know.
Yeah.
Deep Throat and Conduit in here. Like, it's just, it takes me back. And I want to thank you for what you've done for television music. And thank you for the beautiful music that you created.
Well, that's very nice of you indeed. I really sincerely appreciate that.
I second that completely. And I can't put that any better than Brandon. Absolutely. I think the best thing I can say, Mark, really, is that The X-Files is a fantastic show, but it's not The X-Files without your music. And it is the one of the things that sticks with me and with a lot of fans more than some of the actual content of the show. The music is what makes that show what it is and made it one of the greatest TV shows ever made. So thank you so much for as Brendan said, for doing this and for sharing this with us today, because it's a real thrill.
Well, thank you. And I think after you guys said that, I'll go back and listen to that stuff. Maybe it is pretty good.
It definitely is. It really is. Thank you, Mark.
My pleasure. And, you know, when, you know, sometimes you don't know what these things are going to turn into and how much people like you guys know and you know, what the questions are, et cetera, but you guys know your stuff, and it was a pleasure indeed. So thank you for the opportunity.
So there you go. That was our exclusive interview with Mark Snow. Wasn't he a lovely guy, Brendan? What a great guy Mark was.
Yeah, he was awesome. We're very grateful. He was so generous with his time. I mean, we got a full hour conversation with him, and he revealed so much about the behind the scenes and his career working. It was very interesting to hear about his work with Sean Callery and how he brought him into the business. That was pretty awesome. But I'm glad that I asked him that question about the drumming sound from the Millennium music, because I had heard that was a contribution by Jeff Charbonneau.
Yeah, it's really interesting to get those. Get those little bits of information, isn't it? And you know, find out that stuff. And it takes those conversations. I think my favorite, much as it's great to, you know, hear Mark's thoughts on season 11 and potentially when it could be and everything like that, I think it's the Bernard Herrmann story. You know, that's just amazing, isn't it? That he was there for that piece of film music history. And, you know, if you're listening to this, you're probably a fan of The X-Files, but you also may be a fan of film music, so in general. So, yeah, to us, that was... I think there's a moment where we both audibly go...
Yeah. That was not an expected... That was something that was not expected, and that's like a gem. Because, as I say in there, like, Bernard Herrmann is my favorite film composer, right? I just love Bernard Herrmann's music.
Yeah.
And, you know, the work that he's done with Alfred Hitchcock and... His original theme for The Twilight Zone is just some of the most beautiful music out there. And, you know, to hear that story is just like, wow.
Yeah.
Moving.
Yeah, very, very, very. And it's incredible that he was there hours before, you know, his death. It's just just stunning. I mean, you know, what a story. And you know, what a great contribution to The X-Files, you know, Mark's made. And being so, you know, generous with his time and coming on and talking to us about this it's a real thrill for you and I, isn't it? I mean, we've listened to his music, as I think we've basically told him on the show, you know, since we were children. So to have that conversation, we were just really excited, weren't we?
You bet, absolutely. Well, it completely changed my life. His album, The Truth and the Light, completely changed my life.
Mm. To have that effect, I mean, it's hard really to put into words. So it's just been a real joy to have him on the show. And hopefully, as he says, you know, he was open to the idea of coming back. So we might be able to get Mark back for another episode, you know, and get him on.
After season 11 comes out, yeah.
Yes, yes. Let's hope that we're not a million miles away from, given Mark believes that, you know, negotiations are underway and everyone's keen, let's hope we're not too far away. You know, that could be a nice Christmas gift for us, actually.
Yeah, you bet.
A season 11 announcement, so we'll see. So thanks for listening, guys, to our discussion with Mark. As I said earlier, Brandon will be back to talk the episode Aubrey in season 2 later in the season. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that. Until then, Brandon, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about Melodic Treks, which is your Star Trek film music podcast and TV music podcast.
Yeah, you bet. So Melodic Trek's been around for a couple of years now, but the previous host, Colin Higgins, left after about 24 episodes. So I picked up the mantle in January of 2016 here with episode number 25. And we focus primarily on Star Trek music from a layman's perspective. Like, I'm not schooled in music. I just have a special interest in film and television music. And so I bring guests on. We talk about episodes. We talk about the music. I've been blessed with numerous interviews. I've interviewed, I got to sit down in Las Vegas at the convention this year with Jay Chataway, who's done tons and tons of music for all of the Star Trek series. We got to talk for over an hour. It was absolutely amazing. My first interview that I did on my second episode, which is number 25, I got to interview Ron Jones, who composed 42 episodes of The Next Generation, and he did The Best of Both Worlds. Like, his music is absolutely outstanding.
That's a fascinating interview as well with Ron. He's very candid. You know, he's very candid in that interview, and it's really, if anyone fan of Star Trek music or film music in general, or TV music, you must listen. It's great. It's a great episode.
Yeah, and we've got lots of people that work in the soundtrack production industry. I've had Neil Bulk on, Mark Banning and Ford Thaxton, Jeff Bond, who's written liner notes for numerous CDs. So I've had these gentlemen on to discuss the production of CDs and some of the things that they've worked on in the past. But I don't just limit it to Star Trek music. I try and have some fun. I've had a few episodes where I call it 6 degrees of separation, and so I did 6 degrees of William Shatner. And so what I do is I go on and somebody gives me another actor's name, and I try and connect those to William Shatner and this person or whoever it happens to be within 6 movies. However, I can only use movies that have been scored by people that have scored for Star Trek.
Yeah.
So it's pretty challenging.
I listened to the 6 degrees of William Shatner one recently, actually. Yeah, it's a really good premise, and it's a very clever way of connecting up Star Trek actors and featuring music. So yeah, there's so many good ideas on Melodic Treks. And what episode are you up to now, Brandon, with it?
Actually, as we're recording right now, episode 63 just came out. I've had 2 special episodes as well, but the episode that just got released today was an interview with Gerald Freed, who is the only surviving composer, the only living composer who worked on the original Star Trek, and he did Shore Leave, Cat's Paw, and he did The Paradise Syndrome, and he did Amok Time.
Amazing, amazing music. And Mark Snow references him, doesn't he? And as you've heard, so he you know, they've got a connection and everything like that. So yeah, it's interesting how that's just come out. What an amazing interview and an amazing experience to talk to someone, you know, with that legacy. It's
yeah, you bet. And he worked with Kubrick.
stunning. So it's a great podcast, all part of the Trek FM banner. Which is just a complete network full of amazing Star Trek podcasts. Anyone who is listening to this who's a Star Trek fan, it is the best collection of Star Trek shows and podcasts and podcasters on the internet, absolutely. So, you know, absolutely go over and check Melodic Treks and all the other Star Trek podcasts out over there because they're amazing. Where then can people find you, Brandon, to find out more about Melodic Treks and what you're up to?
Probably the best place to find me is on Facebook. You can just search me and add me as a friend. You can find me on Twitter at Brandon Metella. I don't tweet too much. I try, but I don't know. I go on Twitter and I'm like, I got nothing to say, so I don't really tweet. So, you know, I retweet a lot of things that are about the music industry and soundtrack industry on Twitter, but probably the best place is Facebook. So.
Awesome. Check out Brandon over there. And obviously you can check us out on Twitter at @X_cast, where we're posting lots of X-Files stuff, including from our blog, the X-Cast blog, which is on WordPress. You can find articles and all kinds of things from our wonderful blog team that is continuing to grow and expand. So do check that out. We're also on Twitter as well. We've got our page, which is the X-Cast, and our Facebook group, the X-Cast Facebook podcast group, which is really growing now. More people are joining. There's lots of great chatter in there as well, and we're building a real community around all that. So it's wonderful. Do join in and get involved. And of course, we're on iTunes. So if you could go on iTunes, just type the XCast in, whatever store you're in, and you'll find us. And if you could leave us a rating and a review if you're listening to the show, that'd be wonderful. So more people listen to us, and we can continue to grow because we're doing all right, I think. You know, Mark Snow's good enough to come on. And also, as of the other day, I believe Mitch Pileggi also knows about us now because one of our blog team told him about the X-Cast, and I'm hopeful one day we can get the Skin Man on the show, but that's a long-term goal. If you're listening, Mitch, give us a call, okay? but yeah, we'll be back next time for our look at the amazing One Breath, which is one of the greatest episodes of The X-Files ever, and Darren Mooney will be back for that episode. That would have been after our episode on 3, so you may have heard me advertise One Breath on there, but we had to take a break to get Mark on and do this special episode. So yeah, our normal programming, I guess, will be resumed next week with One Breath, so do check in for that. And yeah, we'll see Brandon again for Aubrey, and we'll be back soon. So remember, until then, trust no one. Thanks, Brandon.